Thank you very much. That was so much fun, I think I'll sing another one. I was going to launch right into my talk, but I should have. No. Well, I should have, could have, would have been a hero. I should have, could have, would have been a saint. I should have, could have, would have been somebody else. I should have, could have, would have, but I ain't. Well, I should have, could have, would have done things differently. I should have, could have, would have, this I know. I should have, could have, would have, but I didn't. So I just let it go. Yeah, I didn't let it go. Well, Mom, I know I could have done things better, but that's strictly hypothetical, you see. There's only one thing I can be sure of. I'm doing the best I can at being me. I did the best I could at being me. Well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a hero. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a saint. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been somebody else. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I ain't. I see some of you mouthing the words. Come on, go ahead and sing. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a hero. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a saint. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been somebody else. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I ain't. That was pretty good. It sounded like a great mutter-along crowd. I'm just kidding. I'm just feeling like I tried doing good and I tried being better. I tried studying self-help principles. I tried reading the Course in Miracles. Well, I thumbed through the Course in Miracles. That's a really big book with a lot of hard words. But I knew I should feel better by myself. And finally, one day, I realized, hey, I don't need to shoot on myself. It doesn't help to shoot on myself. Ready? I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a hero. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a saint. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been somebody else. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I ain't. I know some of you are thinking you should know the words better before you sing right loud where anybody could hear you, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, this comes to the real audience participation part of the song right here. Of course, it'd be great if you clap along and sing along, but even more important, I want you to think about your shoulda, coulda, woulda. Or maybe it's more like a shouldn't have, couldn't have, wouldn't have, but you shoulda. And it could be something really big, like you shoulda made peace with your parents before they died. Now you're spending a lot of money on therapy trying to get rid of that old programming. Or maybe something kind of small, like you shoulda been nicer to your kids on the way out the door, but you were in a hurry to get to church on time. Come on, let's hurry up, we gotta be in peace soon. Oh, whatever. When it comes to that part of the song where I say, I let it go, you let it go, and we all let go of our shoulda, coulda, woulda, be ready to be a little bit lighter and brighter right here, right now. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been a hero. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been the same. I shoulda, coulda, woulda been somebody else. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I ain't. Well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda done things differently. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, this I know. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I didn't. Ready? Got yours in mind? Here we go. Now, I just let it go. I told myself I was going to stand still and be the serious guy this morning, but it didn't work. I coulda, but I dudda. Yeah, well, Celebration Circle has been meeting for 25 years, and early in our history, we were meeting at a place called Rebarn. It was a little center for art and spirituality in San Antonio on the campus of the Incarnate Word College. It's run by sisters. It's a beautiful space, about half as big as this room. Art gallery, Tai Chi classes, meditation classes, and then Celebration Circle was able to rent the space on Sunday mornings to have our little gathering. Very good. Got along well with the Catholic nuns. A couple of very hip liberal ladies there. Yeah. Talk about radical people. The nuns who are liberal and open-hearted and warm and kind and non-patriarchal doing their work in that institution, that's a big assignment. And so we found a good place there. And then one weekend there was an art opening. And like I said, it's a small gallery, nice little art opening. An artist named Donnell was showing her works, and one of the pieces appeared to show an angel having sex on the altar. It was a little questionable, but you know, it was part of the incarnational spirituality theme of the show. But somebody took offense at it and reported it to the archdiocese. Now, at the art opening, I was there the night of the art opening. There might have been 100 people there, probably less. In the course of a normal art show run there for a month, maybe 200 people would have seen this. But this person got really offended by this image and took it to the archdiocese. Then he stirred up a phone call bank. As a consequence, people got really angry. So angry that somebody called the Express News, the San Antonio newspaper, who ran an article about it on their front page with the image prominently shown. Circulation of 500,000 readers now seeing this image, which somebody was really mad about and didn't want anybody to see. Well, now that it's on the front page of news, now a lot of conservatives are really mad that the nuns would be sponsoring a show with an angel having sex on the altar, which was only one painting in a small show, but nevertheless, now there were many, many people upset. There were bomb threats against the nuns. Well, now the TV stations had to be called in because it's bomb threats, big news. Now it's on the 10 o'clock news, 3 days running. The LA newspaper and the New York Times art and culture section picked that up. They ran it in their session, their newspapers. Now, countless millions of people across the nation have seen this image, which is offensive. Consequently, they shut the show down, and shortly thereafter, they closed the center. But the point I want to make is because somebody was really against that image and didn't want anybody to see it, tens of millions of people saw it, talked about it. Whereas if he would have just ignored it, 100 people might have seen it in the course of a month and no one would have noticed it. The spiritual principle involved is what you focus on expands. And we know that as a concept. And yet, how much of our time is focused on the big problems in the world? I mean, the really big problems that touch my life directly, like global warming and environmental degradation and hatred and bigotry and, yeah, big stuff. And I'm against it. Okay. But what I focus on expands. So as a spiritual student, what is my job when I find myself watching TV and hearing yet another divisive political statement or see another very disturbing image? What is it that I can do? I'm just asking you the question. That's my job. Your job to answer it. And I find a hint in the behavior of the bar-tailed godwit, which is a little seabird, approximately as long as the microphone, maybe a little longer. Small seabird. It lives in Alaska, and it breeds in New Zealand. It flies 7,100 miles one way, somehow knows where it's going, knows where to breed and eat, and knows how to fly back to its same spot in Alaska another 7,100 miles later. How does that work? Even more amazing is another little bird called the red... I'll think of it in a second. And the amazing thing about this bird is it's not much bigger than the godwit. It flies 9,300 miles from its home deep down in South America to the breeding grounds in Alaska. Not only that, not only does it fly 9,300 miles, it has to time its departure from South America in such a way that it lands in one bay in the Chesapeake Bay area. Because and it has to land within the 1 week period in the fall when a particular species of crab is molting and is out on the beach in big numbers. So this flock is flying up from South America, times it within 7 days when those crabs are molting so it can feast on them, so it can fatten up and make the last 2,000 miles of its journey to the Arctic Circle, where it will breed, and then turn around and fly back another 9,300 miles. How does it do that? I don't know, I'm just asking questions here. I do ask because I drove up here from San Antonio this morning and I need a GPS to get here. And here's the embarrassing admission. I'm gonna need GPS to get me back home too. Because I was in a hurry to get here and I wasn't really paying attention where exactly I turned off of that farm to market road. Yeah. But let me ask you, can you point me my way? Which way is north from here, from where we're sitting? Who knows? Oh, some say this way, some say that way, some say that way. Okay. Let's say, just for the sake of it, let's say this is north. Just pretend it's north. Okay, then which way is east? East, yeah. And how did you know that? Well, we had to think about it. We had to locate in our minds that old geography lesson. If that's north, then east is there, yeah. Right? For us, finding directions is mostly a mental process. Can I ask you a favor? Would you point at me? All right? Not point at yourself. Very interesting. How many of you pointed here? I can tell you, nobody in this room did. Of the people that I saw, everybody was pointing here. The heart. So how is it that the bar-tailed godwit can fly 7,100 miles from its home in Alaska to New Zealand and back? And know its way and find its way home to the almost the same tree it started from 14,000 miles later. And I struggle to get back home to my heart because I'm living in my head where all the dangers of the world reside. Because name any problem in the world, and I'm talking big problems like the environmental catastrophe or the catastrophe which seems to be this national election we're headed toward. Or even a bigger catastrophe, the fact that my teenage son refuses to pick his towels up from the bathroom floor when I ask him over and over again. Pick any difficulty, and where does it live? It lives here. Yes, the environmental degradation is real, and yes, we need to change our lifestyle and find sustainable ways to live on the planet. All of that is true, absolutely. And where does that problem live? Really here. Where does the solution live? Here. Because it's only here that, to pick a problem, it is only here that my lifestyle and yours will really change so that we become more in line with the world we live in. It's only here that the rancorous tone of the national debate in politics will change. And we know that as truth students, we know that. We've read that book. We went to that seminar. We've heard those affirmations this morning. But again and again, we go to our heads and try to fight the big battles of the world. So this morning, I'm just here to remind you, by reminding myself, really, that time and again, when I find myself at odds with the world, needing to fix or change anything, I'm invited to take that 18-inch trip from the head to the heart, one which is infinitely longer, apparently, and more difficult than what the barred-tailed godwit has to fly from the Arctic to New Zealand. Because it does it effortlessly, whereas you and I are working on this time and time again, year after year, this long trip from the head to the heart. That's why it's so important that we gather to practice on Sunday in spiritual community, on Wednesday with your reading group or your meditation group or your yoga class on Tuesday, or your gardening with your partner every Saturday morning, whatever it is that can help you and I move from the head to the heart is the journey we're called on together. Time and again, we're called on to remember, to be aware of where we are when we're in trouble. And I promise you, if you check out the location of where your troubles are, at any given moment, they're in your head. And anytime we try to fix it in our head, it's like the guy who is trying to fix that painting being shown in that gallery. Or like me, telling myself, this morning I am going to be relaxed and I'm not going to sing Get All Riled Up. And then I got riled up. Because what you focus on expands. And what I choose to focus on is that when I'm aware of the troubles, of the battle, of the struggle in my head, just be aware of it. Then accept it. Say, oh, Rudy, here you are again. You're all up in your head. Because awareness without acceptance is just more struggle. If I'm aware that I'm up in my head and I'm hating myself for it and saying, man, I just took that meditation class. I just left the meditation class 10 minutes ago and already I'm up in my head. That's not helpful. Awareness coupled with acceptance allows me to address what is. I can't change a flat tire until I'm aware I've got one. Right? You ever see those guys driving down the highway, kaboom, 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 with a big flat tire? You want to yell at them, pull over. But they're trying to get to the next gas station. They're not accepting of this flat tire. They're just going to struggle on, right? Does that resonate with anybody else? Does that happen in anybody else's lifetime? Awareness, acceptance. And then from that place of acceptance, being willing to align with something bigger than myself. Call it God, call it life, call it the infinite silence, infinite intelligence. But something is calling me in every moment when I'm struggling to just be where I am with awareness and acceptance and then aligning with something other than me, God. So that I can then allow myself to simply be at peace with what is for a long time, like 10 seconds. And then, if you're like most of us, all the way, you're back up in your head again. Oh, I got a flat tire. I'm mad. Oh, back to awareness, acceptance, aligning, and allowance. A simple four-step process that underlines every meditation method that's ever been invented by anybody. All traditions basically practice that. If you boil down any Buddhist practice, any New Thought meditation, it all comes down to saying being present, getting present, aware of what is, accepting, aligning with something bigger, and then allowing. And practicing over and over again brings us to a place where we can truly feel the peace and be the peace of who we are. In that spirit, I invite you to join me in a time of meditation. hush. Listen, not to my words, not to the song, to the silence in the spaces between the notes of the music. For my sake, but for the sake of the love in the spaces that surround you, let the largeness of love astound you. There is no need to hurry, the silence has been waiting since forever. It will be here much longer than you or I could ever imagine. Pretend that you hear, and soon you will hear more than you ever had thought possible before. Listen, present, right as you are, right where you are, now. Aware of every bodily sensation, every sound, every distracting thought, just noticing, accepting, without needing to fix or change anything, just for now, and now, and now. Each moment a brand new invitation to be fully present with what is just the way it is. Aligning with the higher power of your understanding, with the wonderful one, come into this precious moment with a heart open to receive guidance, with a mind willing to sink into the heart, to come back home to who you truly are, here. And now, as the free flow of spirit moves to you, through you, as you, allow all that is and is becoming at any point you become distracted and find your mind drifting off into thoughts, fantasies, drowsiness, simply notice, be aware, and accepting, knowing there is nothing you need to fix or change or make happen. You're simply here to align with the divine and allow yourself to rest in the free flow of spirit now and now and now. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.